This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Yeah, buddy, here we go. It's hour number one of the G-Bag Nation. Two breaking NBA stories since lunchtime. We'll talk about those as we're out of the gates here with everything that's been breaking in the world of sports since we last talked to you. There's Brian Broaddus, the former Cowboys scout, Super Bowl champion, NFL executive. Lucius Alexander is in the Pimp Cup at Master Control here, 75 and 52. Fix it to go 5 hours flawless. Radio producing, engineering, and hosting. Eric Chiafalo is in the house. Salute to Zach Wolchuk. He's done for the day. I think done for the week. He's off tomorrow, but today he filled in for the KMC Masterpiece. He was down two guys. Bassick taking a day off, and Corey's still under the weather, although majors get well soon. I did hear he'll be back tomorrow. That's pretty cool. Okay, the two stories. Anthony Davis going to be reevaluated in 2 weeks with further updates to follow. Apparently making good progress there with the strained adductor. You know, I guess I had just been holding my breath in the absence of information, thinking they're dragging this out and it's about to get worse, right? They just didn't want to tell us because it would be too traumatic considering everything that we went through that week, but I guess this means he's coming back for sure.
He's trying.
When you say reevaluated in 2 weeks, I think he'll probably be back within a month at the very latest. Brian, what do you think?
Yeah, no, in talking to some folks over with the Mavs, I mean, it's one of those things where he is really trying to get back, you know, working with the trainers, the staff, everybody over there to try and make sure that, you know, that he is as healthy as he can when that time comes. But it's not one of these things where they're just kind of hoping and wishing and all those things. It's legitimate work going into it, and the rest and the ability to work on the areas as much as they can and get him healthy. So both sides are really motivated to get that thing done.
Yeah, you know, I feel like, you know, when and if you get him back, him and PJ and maybe, I don't know, are going to play Dwight Powell and Kessler Edwards still as some bigs for minutes? I don't know. But at that point, I think they'd have enough size to win a play-in. But after that, you would go OKC or Minnesota, and your best opportunity there would be to exploit their front court by overwhelming them. I think you'd need Lively, Gafford, and Davis all back to start talking about a run. I mean, Anthony Davis was very impressive, and he is no doubt a one-man wrecking crew. He's a one-man double team on defense, dude. He can shut it down. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. And the rebounding and, you know, the offense can help you. I don't know. Maybe they could win a playoff series without Lively or Gafford. But, you know, I think getting Anthony Davis back would be a massive step towards contending.
Yeah, it's just going to be so hard to really have any confidence that it's going to last more than how many single-digit games before he re-aggravates it or something else pops up.
I think that's what they're really trying to work on, that maybe that they, you know, because of the trade, because of the pressure to be out on the court, that maybe they went a little early on that.
Oh, with his initial debut?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they rushed him then.
Exactly.
And maybe now you're trying to not do that, but
right,
it's still the
right
nature of this injury, the re-aggravation, I think.
It's always a possibility.
Pretty high.
Always a possibility.
I mean, he'd been on a pretty good run, hadn't he, Anthony Davis, for the last couple of years? What do you got, 56 games, 76 games, and then he'd played in 42 this year?
Yeah.
I mean, there were a couple of years back-to-back where it was 36 and 40, half the games. Hopefully, you know, that we're not subjected to that. But I think that was the biggest mistake of the trade of Luka is, if you're worried about a guy being fit, what are we doing taking a guy who misses on average probably more games than just about anybody, not named Greg Oden, over the last 20 years when it comes to superstar talent? You know, that's going to be a tough one if he continues to get hurt.
They wanted the player, and they were willing to look past that. But it's part of, I think the thing with Luka is not the out of shape thing. I think it's they got tired of dealing with the people around him.
Yeah.
I think that's the bigger thing. The out of shape stuff, you knew what you were going to get with Luka. It was going to be difficult. He wasn't going to come in shape initially. He was going to try and play his way in shape. He's probably going to deal with a little bit of injury along the way. But I just really do believe this. It came down to there was just so much disagreement about people that were able to, that were kind of coddling Luka in the organization that Nico got rid of. And that really upset Luka. And now you know, it's like, okay, fine. If I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do that. I'm, you know, try and play without me kind of thing. And I think that's why the Mavericks moved on. I don't think this was about Luka being out of shape. I think it was there's some real disagreements between people that Luka had worked with in the past and what Nico's, what he wanted, that he did not want those people around anymore. I think that's the bigger picture right now.
Yeah, I mean, if you're trying to build a culture, I was just listening to a podcast about this for sports, and they said culture is the words you use and how people react to them, right? Yeah. So if you're trying to create a culture with your words and the reaction is whatever, you know, and you feel strongly about that, I do feel like in sports you can say all those things, but if you have a talent like Luka, you figure out a way to create the culture around it. And you have to acknowledge sometimes great teams win without culture because they're just that amazing. So I still wouldn't have done it. The big breaking other news, though, is Wemby's out for the season. Deep vein thrombosis in his shoulder, which is a blood clot. Mm-hmm. So he's got to take blood thinners and he can't play well on blood thinners. I guess you pass out or something like that. So,
well, you could have the internal bleeding.
Yeah.
Oh.
You're more susceptible to that kind of stuff. You take an elbow to the stomach or whatever. Bad. Or something. All of a sudden now you have huge problems. So even if you are just a run-of-the-mill human being, if you have a blood clot, now you're on blood thinners, you have to be very careful about everything you're doing from an activity standpoint. So it's like 6 months minimum guaranteed you're going to be on that medicine, and so you're not going to be able to really do much physically.
This is a big L for people that have bet on him to be an NBA Defensive Player of the Year because he's not going to hit the 65-game minimum to be eligible. Yeah. So that one really hurts. You know, how are you looking at Wemby here as we're now through his two seasons that he's going to play? I think at some points in this, I've been thinking Wemby's going to be the GOAT. You know, he's got the skill. He's got the size. I didn't think he took a big step this year, though. I don't think the strength or quickness is there. And maybe his size and skill over time, over developing, and big men can develop late. Maybe by the time he's 27 or 28 years old, it'll be clear that nobody is in his stratosphere because his ability to get off his shot anywhere, pass over the top, block all the shots. But I don't know. I'm thinking, sure, perennial all-star, couple of MVPs, maybe a couple of championships, but I don't know. Like, this was a big year for Wemby, and in the end, he was about the guy that he was as a rookie. He hasn't shown, like, an ability to get with NBA trainers and create more quickness. His change of direction, obviously, at 7'3", is going to be slower, you know? So I guess that's where my expectations are, and I'm delighted by that. You know, it's nothing personal against him, but the Spurs have created nightmares for this conference for 2.5 decades now, Chief, and I don't know if I could take another round of that.
Yeah, no, I'm with you for sure. Now, he is a joy to watch, and it does suck that he's on the Spurs. Hopefully everything ends up being fine with him and he can come back. I do think he did improve. His volume of three-pointers per game went up, and his percentages went up. His blocks went up a tick. He's basically at 4 blocks per game now. So his free throw percentage went up a fair amount. So, like, he got a little bit better, but it wasn't some huge leap
Like, yeah, you know,
like, but, oh crap, you know, but I mean, even out of the rafters
in year one, I mean, what was he averaging in year one? He was averaging, I mean, 21 and a half points per game.
Yeah.
So now it's 24 and a half. Sure. But I mean, he came out of the gates pretty dang awesome. Rookie of the year. And all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, great player. Top 10 player already at this stage.
But, like, how much better, like, is he going to get?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and shoot, maybe he gets with Hakeem Olajuwon and puts together a post game and he starts dream faking people and, you know, doing all that. But, I don't know. So I think that's something to take a little bit of solace in as a Mavs fan or a fan of another team. Biggest hockey game we've had in a long time is tonight, USA and Canada, Four Nations Final, a rematch of last weekend's 3-1 USA win. We will have it on The Fan at 7 o'clock for you, the play-by-play. The average price jumped again to $23.50. Mm-hmm. It doubled from a couple of days ago, and we thought it was massive. So, you know, I think the best thing we have going for us right now is Canada sticking with their goaltender, Jordan Binnington, who has not been excellent this tournament.
Yeah.
The coach is sticking with him, though. And ours is amazing. Our goaltender is amazing. The money line is even though USA is without Charlie McAvoy and Canada got, is it Cale Makar?
Makar back.
Yeah, they got him back. And so I don't know. I do think the sports books are scamming American gamblers right here on this one, Brian. The money line is even. I can't bet on the red, white, and blue. I can't bet against them. You know, what's the over-under? You got to look at other gambling opportunities if you got to get down on this game.
Yeah, having Makar back is going to be huge for Canada tonight. And you're right about Binnington. He is, even before this tournament, I was watching the St. Louis Blues play, and there was a couple of times where he had let goals in. I'm like, man, that's kind of not like him. But I've also seen him play against the Stars where he was the only thing that the Blues had that night. So he's always very capable of playing. You just don't know how these netminders are going to react in these huge situations. You know, I think that the U.S. is in Canada's head with the physicality. I said it in the crosstalk. I wouldn't be surprised if you see Canada maybe turn the puck over a little bit more tonight. Thinking that the U.S. is going to try and plaster them every opportunity. They're going to get that puck, get rid of it as fast as they can. Might lead to some turnovers, might lead to some poor play back in their end. Maybe the United States can take advantage of that. I think Canada's a better team. And so we'll see how that all plays out tonight. You absolutely know that Canada, the United States is going to get Canada's best effort tonight in this particular game. It's just a matter of, though, can the United States continue to play well in areas defensively like they need to.
And the goalie advantage, I think, is, I mean, from what I understand, absolutely, this is the best goalie on the planet.
Yep.
Wearing USA.
Yeah, about to become the first American to win three Vezina trophies.
Right.
Which goes to the best goaltender. Okay, another sign of college football transforming. Sark today on Up and Adams said, we're not going to have a spring game. College football is changing right now, and we need to do a great job as coaches of adapting. He's dead balls on right with that one. USC is done with the spring game as well, Brian.
Yeah, no, I do not have a problem with this, but, you know, you've seen in the past, like, you know, spring games being a kind of an idea of or a showcase of talent that you have going forward. These coaches are like, listen, I'm having to recruit my own guys still. I recruited them to get them here. I'm having to continue to recruit them. You know, you let somebody come and watch your spring game, they're going to sit down and they're going to evaluate your spring game.
Oh,
they're
going
to sit down and look at your two deep. They're going to look at the players that might be that aren't starters that, hey, maybe I could go poach this guy on an NIL deal. You know, maybe I could recruit him a little bit. You just do not want to give anybody an opportunity, an extra opportunity to see your team as a whole and then be able to evaluate. Like guys like Mike Lombardi, my friend, they're treating their team at North Carolina like an NFL team. They are evaluating not only everybody in their conference as an NFL team, but they're also evaluating teams around the country. And if they need to go get a left tackle, they have no problem picking up the phone and going to talk to a left tackle at Oregon State. to see if they could get him to Chapel Hill.
Yeah, yeah, and I heard Sark talking about something similar. I think all those things are true. And then the NFL factor of it, he said, like, that's how we're going to treat our springtime now. It's more of like an OTA thing that starts to ramp up a little bit more. And he says, like, for his team, they've played 30 games in the last 2 years. Yeah. So the wear and tear, they played 14 last year and then 16 this previous season. So he's like, the wear and tear from that standpoint. And then apparently they have an influx of guys that are still like high school, but mm-hmm. they graduated early. So it's like true freshmen now in the building for them. And he's like, we just have more teaching that we need to do. And the wear and tear factor, I just don't think it's worth it. Plus all the ideas that you're talking about where it's just free game for scouting other teams, poaching my guys.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, and you're probably exhausted right now. You need more time off. You know, you're playing an NFL schedule at this point once you're at 15 games. So hopefully it works out for the players. I know it's going to be a bummer for fans who have always loved going to that spring game. Rangers GM Chris Young's very busy. Game one of spring training is tomorrow. I think it starts at 2 or 3 o'clock, so we'll have updates for you as the day goes on. His daughter is playing for the Lady Scots of Highland Park. They're in the 5A basketball tournament. She's taken her team as far as any Highland Park basketball team has been in 35 years when Daddy was a star for the boys team, like back in the I guess, early 90s.
Yeah, it's
mid-90s.
Yeah, it's interesting to always deal with, with when you have your own sports. And then you're trying to deal with your own kid's sports.
Yeah. And he said it right there. You won't get these back. You got to go to them.
You got to go. And if it means, being super tired to do it all, then you have to be super tired. And so tip of the cap to him and tip of the cap to his daughter for how well she's played at Highland Park this year.
Yeah. Might want to get that clear, that TSA pre-check, though, at that Phoenix airport. You know that line can be a B word.
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know, maybe rail let him.
Well, I did upgrade our Avis. I am nice. Preferred, so we don't have to stand in line. We just go get it and go.
Yeah.
That's what we'll do.
You want Brian in your travel party. This man is a one-man concierge show.
I try.
He's going to get you dialed in. G-Bag of the Day is coming up at 2:30. We're going to puck around and find out more about this Four Nations final coming up next right here. It's the G-Bag Nation on 105.3.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
The fam. Yeah, buddy. Welcome back here on your home of the Rangers, 105.3 The Fan. It is baseball time, but it's hockey time tonight, baby. Segment here is brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call Frankel and Frankel first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. Frankel and Frankel, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Principal office, Dallas, Texas. Okay. Got this story here for you. A Four Nations gambling news is what this comes down to. And I know, maybe you're thinking, I want to bet on the red, white, and blue to win. I gamble on sports. This is what I do. I think it is a big betting opportunity. Like, if you're an objective or maybe, international wagerer, you're from out of town, you're a European dude and you're a big hockey fan in Finland. You're looking at this. You're like, holy crap, I'm getting even money on the money line to bet Canada in this. Isn't that, everywhere I go, people are saying, oh, Canada's the better team. We're going to have to get lucky to win. Yeah. And so you pull up the gambling odds. It's flipping even. Chief, you don't need to be a BetQL podcast hoster to know this is a golden opportunity.
No, you don't even have to be a BetMGM podcast host like we are now. I think that you're 100% right. It would make sense to, given the way the odds are, to go ahead and lean Canada.
Yeah, you could never do that. I would never do that. Right.
Right. Not who you're rooting for or who you want to win. But if you're actually trying to make a business decision here, I certainly would understand that.
Yeah. And maybe I would end up devastated at the end of the night. I lost the bet, but then I could be happy the USA won.
Yeah. You kind of hedge a little bit for yourself. Yeah.
I think the odds are even because of Connor Hellebuyck, the goalie for the United States.
Okay.
I mean, he's one of the most decorated goalies in you talk about one of the fastest of 300 wins in the NHL, American goalies. Like Tim Thomas was a guy that back in the day that was but this guy has played in many tournaments. He's been in a lot of these played in a lot of junior tournaments and stuff with the United States against Canada and stuff. So I kind of feel like that's probably why the odds are the way they are. If you go player for player, the Canadians are a better team. But the one most important position is between the pipes. And the United States, as you pointed out, Chief, they have a huge advantage there. And you have a goalie that has a lot of experience. We talk about the Vezina winner. That's given to the best goalie in the league. He's won this multiple times. And you look at Winnipeg, and they're off to a great start this year. A lot of it because of the way that he's played all year. So these odds, if you're betting the United States, you're betting your heart, but you're also betting that your netminder is much better than what's across the ice from you.
Yeah, yeah, and that could be a difference maker.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be interesting. I feel like it's an American tax. They're like, well, people are going to bet USA anyway. Mm-hmm. Why are we going to give them big odds? There's way more gamblers in America mm-hmm. than Canada. Right. So, let's really tax their ass. And this can be a huge day. I know if Canada does win, it's going to be a huge win for sports books across the country. Mm-hmm. Saw that. DraftKings says it's the foremost bet hockey games of the season so far have been at this tournament.
That's great.
FanDuel says Four Nations contests are averaging over six times as many bets as an average NHL game this regular season. Saturday's first USA-Canada matchup, the 3-1 win for America, bar none the most bet hockey game of the season. FanDuel says the contest saw 13 times more bet than all of the 3-on-3 games that made up last year's NHL All-Star event combined. So it's a big week here for the sports books, and it's given them another thing. And obviously it's been a big week for the networks and their sponsors as well.
This has been better than an exhibition.
Yeah.
This feels like high stakes.
This feels like, when we talk about why these guys do it and they say it's for the flag on your chest.
Yeah.
That's what it means. So, sometimes in these all-star games or exhibitions, it's hard to bet because what's the level of intensity?
Right.
We saw the level of intensity last Saturday when they dropped the puck and immediately the gloves are off and they're sizing each other up. It's like, whoa, this is not an exhibition. This is United States trying to kick Canada's ass is what this is. So it's a little bit easier in good conscience. You could bet that because you're thinking like, hey, I'm not having to worry about the intensity. The only thing I'd ever vote on it or bet on in an all-star game would be over 300 for the combined score. That's the only thing I'd ever bet on,
I totally hear you, man. So this is a huge opportunity to bet with great intensity in the game,
you're betting on basically a playoff game is what you're betting on, and you're going to get the best from both sides.
And on that note, the first game was equivalent to a Stanley Cup final game, and they're thinking tonight's will be the equivalent of a game seven as far as the handle.
There you go.
Which is how they refer to the volume of dollars.
It feels like a game seven. This is an all the marbles. This is do or die. This is it.
Mm-hmm.
This is the one.
Okay, speaking of maybe for all the marbles.
I thought you were going to go more. What other ones you got? It's not a litmus test game.
It's just quite simply do or die all the marbles. Let's go.
Yeah, can't wait. Speaking of do or die, NASA's increased the chance of a major asteroid smashing into the Earth in 2032.
Oh, they've been bumping that thing up like every other week. Come on with it, baby. Let's go.
We're at 3.1% now.
What's the year?
This is 2032.
Okay, how old will Brian be? I might be dust.
I mean, 2 weeks ago, they said that we were like 1-something.
They keep increasing?
Yeah, and then a week follows, it's like it's 2-something. And then now saying 3. Come on with it, baby.
Well, this is
big. 10.
This is big enough to wipe out an entire city.
Let's go.
The large cities with the highest risk, Bogota, Abidjan, Lagos, Khartoum, Mumbai.
You made up that second one.
I definitely didn't know how to pronounce it.
Azerbaijan is they run a race there, a Formula One race.
There's no R in this word, though. Kolkata, Dhaka, okay? Yeah. According to experts, 177-foot diameter asteroid would release 8 megatons of energy on impact, 500 times the energy released by the atomic bomb in Hiroshima. NASA has successfully tested asteroid deflection technologies. Uh-huh. China is also testing its own on a small asteroid coming up in 2027. They say it's not a crisis at this time. This is not a dinosaur killer.
Okay.
This is not a planet killer.
They are already claiming that they're going to knock one out of there?
They're going to test it in 2027.
Say, we got this one. That's on us.
Yeah.
Are they going to send Bruce Willis and them up there to do this?
We're going
to
see how good our rockets are.
Y'all sit back, fellas. We got this one. We're claiming this one. We're claiming that one.
Yeah, we got that one.
That's wild.
We'll see how good
they get the first crack at it. Yeah. We'll still have like 5 years to figure it out if they drop the ball.
Guess what, guys? We didn't get it.
So they're thinking that if it does hit a city, it could wipe out an entire city, but it wouldn't like create the debris in the air that would block out the sun and set off an ice age or anything like that. But this would definitely be horrible if it was coming and everybody had to evacuate and your city was going to be toast.
Yeah, totally.
It's time now for the G-Bag of the Day. Into the pimp cup. Here's Lucius.
Well, you something else.
Hey, Lucius, how much warning are we going to get on this thing? Are we going to have
you're waiting in your cities now, nothing and dust. And now it's time for the G-Bag of the Day.
You are something else.
We already know it might be on course, and it's 8 years from now, right? So okay, we'll have plenty of time to get.
We'll have time?
Oh, yeah.
Like a month to get out of here kind of a thing?
No, I don't think that's how. Well, I guess if you're like near the areas that they think may be it, then they'll probably tell you something.
Dawson, I think I'd be more worried if they were like, oh, no, we're fine.
You remember Skylab?
No.
No, you don't?
No.
Lucius, you know what I'm talking about? No. Skylab? It was our first space station thing that went around, and it came down. It fell? Yeah. Skylab ran out.
Is that the one where they had, like, the dogs and the monkeys in it?
No, that was, like, Sputnik.
Guys, like, awful.
They're, like, sending those dogs up.
Oh, my gosh. When you see the black and white film, the dogs just looking all happy and everything. Like, my God, look at all these people. They just love me.
It's like, yeah. All right, let's strap him to a rocket and see if he can go.
Wow, Skylab was up there for 6 years.
That's what I'm saying, man. And it finally, where it landed, I think it hit in the ocean, but they were worried it during my time when I was a kid. Skylab was gonna like hit into a city. Like it's gonna fall into a city.
Jeez.
Yeah, space station.
Fun conversations in elementary.
Oh yeah, that and Sputnik.
So if the asteroid was like a wipe you out type of thing, I don't think they'll give us a type of warning. We'll go too crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not that type of war. Like a week? No, we'll tear up stuff.
You think?
Yeah, it's just going to be like
the purge.
It's 2 hours from now. Yeah.
Better find those underground tunnels real quick.
They're gone.
They'll give you 2 minutes.
Lucius, you think you get one last cast in? You're like, I want to be on the lake when it hits. I'm going to be casting when that
it's
thing
It's going to be hell getting that bait on there with all this nerves.
I can see, it's getting a little dark out here. Better make one more cast. Reach into that cooler and pull out a Stella. Just kind of have at it.
I'll definitely be drinking that week, that's for sure.
All right, our winner and champ of G-Bag of the Day so far. What is this, day number 4? For this guy?
I think so.
The fan at the dark, Blake?
Yeah, I think so.
Blake was dealing with a fan texter that was no longer feeling him, and it got crazy after that.
682 is not dating me. Blake, I'm starting to not like you.
I'll finish.
What a thing to say.
On Valentine's Day.
What a thing. Man, why? What did he say?
I loved you when you started.
Okay.
But you got to stop being a hater. You smash on Fred, and he's pretty non-objective despite being a KC native.
Oh, we got a Fred Truther on here.
Okay,
yeah, we got Fred's burner on here.
First of all, hey, look, hey, thanks, but that's what. But I mean, we both bust on each other.
No, I gotta leave the show. No way, you just said that.
No way, you just said that. It's gotta be a drop.
hilarious stuff.
Okay. There are some characters, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Unbelievable. Yep. It's really unbelievable. It is really unbelievable. I'm still trying to wrap my mind around
it. It's the closest thing to Arnie because when I tune in, I don't think they have a plan.
It's just wheels off.
Just but I can't turn away.
I can't tune away. It's real life chaos, bro. And they're trying to act like it's not chaos.
Professional broadcasting over here.
You ever notice when you ask him, what do you have planned on the show today? Fred acts like he's reading something.
Yeah.
He's like, and they make up guests. I think they just make it.
Create people.
Bozo the Clown at 8:20 today.
Yeah, he's a draft expert.
Oh, my gosh. All right, let's go to CBS Sports Golasso.
They're still
making a breast FC jokes.
They came back to it. They're still doing it.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, man, you got to play the hits, you know?
Oh, yeah. They become both best in pairs. Sorry.
Wow. Sad, though, Micah. No more breasts this year.
Speak for yourself, Kate.
I will speak. I can definitely assure you. No more breasts.
Wow.
Yeah. That's a lifetime choice.
Problem.
Speak for yourself, Kate.
Shout out to Pedro, bro. What else we got right here? Oh, Tolo said I should do this. The Mike Bassick as Tom Landry.
Oh, that was yesterday. That was okay. Kevin.
Hey, Coach.
How's it going?
It's kind of weird at the moment, but good otherwise. How are you?
I died 25 years ago, and I can't believe what I'm watching here from heaven. Me and Tech Schramm are rolling over in heaven, left and right, watching this stuff. We can't cuss here in heaven, Kevin.
You can't?
We don't want to. We are in the presence of God. And I'd like to tell you, if you're going to be a leader at this station, Kevin, you need to get a fedora and a suit and tie.
Okay.
You're sloppy dressing. How are you going to lead? I had to lead people like Hollywood Henderson, and you had to lead Mike Bassick, and you didn't do the best job.
Goes to Tom Landry, calling Higgy out. Wow, didn't have that on my bingo card yesterday.
Not at all.
I had no idea that was one of the skills that Bassick had all these years.
Sheesh.
Who would have known? That was so on point. That was perfect. I wouldn't have known that was Bassick if I just wasn't here for it.
I wouldn't have known, man.
Genius.
Spot on. Sounds just like Tom Landry.
Exactly like Tom Landry.
It's crazy. Yesterday was a church day. There's a blessing out there for you. I pray that you get it. Shout out to my Reverend Dr. Pastor Freddie D. Haynes. It's Frederick Douglass Haynes.
Yeah. Douglass.
Oh, Frederick Douglass Haynes. Well, I tell you what.
Frederick Douglass.
This man was made for this.
Yeah.
He's made for this. We have a bishop right here that was hitting that spot during his sermon. Just hitting that spot. Yeah, he was. And he had to let it cook.
And not by sight.
Not by sight.
Some of the things the Lord is going to bless you with, beloved, is going to be because you've been an obedient servant.
Testify.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I know you're right, bitch.
It may not make any sense.
I appreciate the bishop allowing her to do that.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. I didn't give him many options there. Just step aside for a second.
He just walked away from the mic.
Yep. Step back, take a drink of water.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I know you're right, bitch.
Well, Lord, I know you right.
In mysterious ways, yeah. That'd be quite a
12,
scene there.
12 seconds of hang time, I believe, by my count.
That's impressive. Get that gal in the choir. You know?
Seriously, man.
Probably was. Is it the Fan After Dark, our three-time G-Bag of the Day champion, looking for four right here with Blake and Fred? Is it CBS Sports Golasso?
Golasso!
Bidding adieu to Brest FC, which just got stomped. The ghost of Tom Landry, or Preacher, hitting all the right notes. I'm going to go with the soccer. Chief, how about you?
I am going to go with the champ.
I'm going with the preacher and the lady.
Brian.
Champ.
By a score of 2-1-1. And still, your G-Bag of the Day champion is Fred and Blake. Tune in tomorrow at 2:30 as they look to go five-time status, become immortalized, and eligible for the G-Bag of the Year. LA Live with Lucius every night at 5:40 replays the G-Bag of the Day for you, the champ, if you miss it. So you might want to tune in there if you're ever wondering, who won the G-Bag of the Day today? NFL News of the Day coming up next. Chief, where are you taking
us? The hazards of getting your tush pushed and my Eagles envy continues to skyrocket.
Thank you, Lucius. Special draft treat coming up in 15 minutes. Dane Brugler's going to join us from The Athletic. And I mean, just been an absolute monster over the years covering this thing. And he'll break everything down to the Cowboys options coming up at 3 o'clock here. NFL News of the Day time, though. Here's the Eric Chiafalo.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Okay, so how about the hazards of getting your tush pushed for an entire season? Eagles Pro Bowl center Cam Jurgens underwent a back procedure on Tuesday dealing with the nerve pain.
Yeah, this is what Schlereth was talking about, where there's just extra torque on the body when you're getting pushed, and player safety is the reason they won't let the defense do it. So maybe this is the best exhibit in your case. You know, for why the tush push should be gone. Look at poor Cam Jurgens, you know.
Yeah, and I wonder if it makes the Eagles reconsider wanting to even do it. Like, look what it's doing to our starting center, who now is, I guess, expected to be ready in time for training camp. But obviously dealing with a back issue and a surgery and nerve pain, that's always a bit of a scary deal. So
yeah, you've opened up that can of worms of the back operation and the back pain. And I don't know if the tush push is directly attributed to it, but it damn sure didn't help.
No, it did not. I mean, he said that he calls the play just simply pain.
Wow.
Like, that's the play that he calls it. Now, we call it the tush push or the brotherly shove. Apparently, the Eagles players don't do that. But he calls it just pain because for him, it just hurts so bad. And then I saw this, and it really just highlights how impressive Howie Roseman has been. The Carson Wentz trade, when they were able to...
What all they got for it?
Yeah, what they got for him. Did you see that?
Yeah. They. I mean, if you're saying, okay, we're going to eat all that money, but we're going to get all these guys, I think you would do that every single time.
Yeah, so
Cowboys
you're
right.
For sure. I mean, the forward thinking that it takes to make a decision like this, where... And it started with them having Carson Wentz and still drafting in the second round Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
And then after paying Carson Wentz, still being willing to move off of him, they trade him to Indianapolis for picks, and they end up getting out of the deal Devontae Smith, A.J. Brown, Jalen Carter, and then this year's rookie super beast, Cooper DeJean.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what they turned Carson Wentz into. And when you put it in that perspective, it's just crazy.
Did they move those Indy picks around? I'm sorry, I'm asking a question that you probably don't have.
Yeah, I think like one of them they used to trade for A.J. Brown, maybe.
Yeah, they were able to kind of navigate that thing pretty well by moving. They had a couple years where they had multiple first-round picks. And then kind of were able to move around off that. So it's give them a lot of credit for having those multiple picks.
It's expert team building. It's thinking outside the box. And I just wonder if this is going to become the norm. I saw the 49ers are now interested in selling 10% of their team. You know?
They add them to the list of organizations that are trying to just get an influx of cash. And you're talking about $600 to $900 million, just boom, right there. Now, at
not
your
to
disposal.
Pocket it, but to buy players.
Yeah, buy players.
To invest in the chance of a championship.
Yeah.
I love that kind of commitment from an owner. I mean, he's kind of saying goodbye to that money, you know, because unless you sell the team after it explodes in value post-championship,
you're costing yourself in the long term, but that's how bad these guys want to win. If this becomes the norm, the Cowboys have no chance already. You know, the gap will become even wider from where they are slowly managing year to year conservatively to the absolute top of the league.
Yes, yes. Then you will be talking about if they ever get over the hump. It is truly just a fortuitous, super lucky situation, because right now you already have it in your division, really, with two teams. But you just saw it with the pinnacle with the Eagles, and now every team in the league is going to try. And that's always the thing, copycat league. You see what the champions did to get there. How can we take something from that? And from the Eagles, yeah, what are you taking? It's about being extremely aggressive and having a cap management person who knows what the heck he's doing. And so if you're going to have 10%, 20% more of the league now, taking a page out of the Eagles book and going even more aggressive than usual, yes, yeah, if the Cowboys aren't going to fall in line with that, then they're just going to fall back even more.
So what do you think? Every, like, 8 years you sell 10%, the valuation is going to continue to go up. You get another $1 billion to cover signing bonuses, and you know you can do this for a half century and still own more than half the team.
Okay, yeah. See, now that's the thing. At some point, like, you've given up too much of the team,
right? Yes, but that just shows their commitment to winning. They're totally giving up their team,
yes,
to try to win a Super Bowl for the city and to fund you know, their credit card expenditures.
Yeah, you're right about giving back to the city, because a lot of these owners, I know. I first started working with Jeffrey Lurie, you know, in 1998. And, you know, he had just bought the team 4 years earlier. And they were like, can you believe the amount he paid for this team? I mean, there was a lot of questions. But then you get to a point in time that you've made so much money, you know, billions of dollars off the team.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, I'm willing to, you know, they built me a stadium. I mean, the vet, they tore that down. They built me a football stadium. They're, you know, all these things that are like, he's made billions of dollars off his investment, but the city gave him the new stadium and the opportunity to do things. So you feel like you have to give back. Me personally, I would be in a situation where I would sell 51% share of my team to a corporation and own the other 49 and let them just be the ones that pay all the bills.
Yeah.
Sure. You can pick whoever general manager you want. You can pick, you can do whatever you want. I'm just gonna own the 49% and just stay in it, but not have to outlay any more of my cash. Is what I'm thinking. I would just say, listen, if you want ownership, you want control of my team, and you want to pay all the bills, but I maintain some ownership in this team without not having to make any outlay. Man, that to me, I think, is the ideal thing, because the money that you're now putting out as an owner, that's just coming out of your pocket is what that's coming. I'm gonna say, okay, let Red Bull, you know, pay for all the bills, you know, and they'll grow this thing, and I'll just continue to have, you know, I'll just continue
collect
to
checks.
I'll collect the checks, but I won't have to come out of my pocket to pay for anything.
Yeah, I don't want to bog this down, but the 903 asks, with there being a cap, how would selling a portion of the team and receiving a chunk of cash help?
Because you
pay signing bonuses.
Yeah, you can stagger the contracts. The salary cap is malleable, so you can borrow from future years, and you can commit $60 million a year to your quarterback, but the cap hit is only $10 million, let's say,
in a
year.
You pay a huge bonus. You give them a huge signing bonus. From what I understand, you give them a huge signing bonus, you take that cap number way down.
You spread it out over 5 years.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, now, and listen to the way A.J. Brown talks about it. He's talking about who would you most want in a fantasy world? Who do you want the Eagles to land? And listen to what he says about the cap and the way it feels when you're a filthy player.
Money don't matter. You could bring anybody on your team.
An unlimited salary cap is off.
Honestly, that's what it'd be feeling like over here. I'll say Myles Garrett.
Oh, my God.
You know, adding him with Jalen Carter, Nolan Smith.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I don't know what's going to happen with Josh Sweat or Milton.
Okay, so he says it feels like the salary cap is turned off over here, and he has the gall to, with all the studs on his roster already, think that it's actually plausible for his guy Howie to go get Myles bleeping Garrett, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can have the 32nd pick in our first next year for Myles Garrett at a $20 million cap hit. That would be incredible. I,
I guess they look at it like Jalen Hurts is kind of locked into his contract for at least two more seasons or three more seasons, and until then, we're going to keep on going for it.
Never going to make more than $50 million.
Last time they won the Super Bowl, they went through a four-year rebuild where they're like, okay, that was crazy. We spent a lot of money, guys, but it's time. And I don't know if that starts now. If that starts now, there's no way they get Myles Garrett. I think they'll let a bunch of players walk.
I think they love the taste of championships. They love the taste of victory. And
unlike last time, they know they have a franchise quarterback that can manage it, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So yeah, absolutely.
You ride it until Hurts is done, and then you tear it all down and pay the price for your spending. But right now is probably the time to try to build a dynasty type of resume.
Yeah, that's and I think that's what their plan's going to be.
Thank you, Chief. NFL news of the day here in the G-Bag Nation. Dane Brugler, draft expert from The Athletic, joins us next here on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan.